to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at the last few verses in chapter 4, and it talked about how Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and healing every disease. And news about him spread all throughout the area. And then people were coming to him. They brought all those that were suffering diseases, demon possession, all kind of ailments, and he healed them all. And so a great crowd was coming. Verse 25, large crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. There is a great crowd coming. And then it says, when he saw the crowds, he saw all these people coming for different reasons. Some to be healed, some because they liked what he was saying, his teaching. But he knew what was in the hearts of men. Tonight, as the sun is going down, we're beginning Passover. And in many Jewish homes tonight, the Passover meal is being celebrated. Waiting, anticipating God's Messiah to come. There are many Jews also that have acknowledged and recognized Jesus as the Messiah, and their Passover is a little bit different, but many of Jewish faith have not recognized that Messiah has come. And all the elements of the Passover meal point to the coming of the Lamb of God, the one that God provides. And we pray that their eyes will be opened to see the truth of God's deliverance of these sins. And Jesus, when he was on the mountain, looked out from the side of the mountain and he saw crowds of people coming toward him, toward the mountain where he was. And it says, when he saw them, he went up the mountain. Now, the definite article there says the mountain he was on, he just went further up. And then he took his disciples with him, and in the manner of teaching of rabbis of the day, they sat down, the students stood up. So the teacher would be in a sitting position, and they'd all be gathered around to hear what he had to say. A little different than what we have now. Y'all are all sitting down, and I'm standing up. Although I did see one television preacher where he had a lazy boy brought up on the stage and he sat in a lazy boy and taught from the lazy boy. I didn't get much past seeing him in the lazy boy to listen to what he had to say. But he, Jesus, gathered around him his disciples to teach them the real meaning of the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people coming that were very, like most people, fickle. They have a change of attitude depending, almost like the weather in Texas. Sunday, last Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Passover, when Jesus is to have walked into or rode into Jerusalem. And this coming Sunday is Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate the fact that the tomb is empty. That first Sunday, Palm Sunday, They were praising Jesus. Before the week was out, they were saying, "Crucify him." The people were fickle. They weren't committed to the truth. And Jesus knew the hearts of people that were coming toward him. And he wanted to explain to his disciples. So he began to teach them. First, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We need to understand what the word blessed means. Blessed, we think, we trivially say, "Oh, well, I'm blessed," and don't really think what it means. It means I've been given stuff sometimes. I'm happy. Those are things that can be translated with that word. But Jesus here is, there's more depth to that word. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The Greek word has a connotation of the way people that are rich beyond what you can think, how they don't have a care in the world. I think back to my days of watching Star Trek. And in Star Trek, in the old Star Trek TV series, it mentions a little bit, alludes to the Kobayashi Maru scenario. And it only talks about that Captain Kirk was the only one that solved the Kobayashi Maru scenario. And we don't know till later, until the movies, the Kobayashi Maru scenario was a setting. It was a no-win situation. And it was supposed to be designed to train new Starfleet officers. How do you deal with an impossible situation? Well, James T. Kirk cheated. He hacked the computer program that ran the simulation so that he could win. And so after he hacks the program, he goes in, they're in the simulation, all these enemy ships are around them, and he's sitting eating an apple, and everybody's trying to figure out why he's so calm, because he's in a situation that is certain. He's got his one ship against all these other enemy ships, how he's going to survive. And he's just happy eating his apple. So fire this at that one and that one and that one. And they do that, and he destroys all the ships. He knew he had changed the parameters of the program. He went into that simulation knowing the unwinnable situation could be won. He wasn't worried about failing the Kobayashi Maru test because he knew he was going to win. That's sort of the attitude of being blessed. We know that everything's going to work out. We don't worry about the situations we face because God's in charge of everything. It's an inner attitude that is not affected by outward circumstances. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself. I know both how to do with little, and I know how to do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul says, I'm not worried about how much food is in the pantry. I'm not worried about facing bad situations because I know that I'm trusting God. And this word blessed is also used to describe God. Look with me at Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 35. God is described as blessed. Now, if you think about it for a minute, is there anything that can worry God? I sure hope Steve doesn't preach too long. That might upset some of my church members. Or I sure hope it doesn't rain too much. That might spoil my plans. God doesn't say that. Well, I sure hope that that rocket ship they're sending to the moon doesn't hit one of my planets. You know, because apparently they're sending a spaceship back to go around the moon here by the end of the year. Psalm 68 and verse 35. God, you are awe-inspiring in your sanctuaries. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Chapter 72 of Psalm and verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does wonders. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 11. That conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which was entrusted to me. And chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, and verse 15. God will bring this about in his own time. He is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now think about this. Is God worried about planets crashing into each other? Is God worried about, well, is the sun going to rise? Do I have to do something to make everything work right? No, God's not worried about anything. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have, not worrying about anything, but understanding that God is in charge. We have that worry-free life. We're not going to have problems, but we're not worried that there's not going to be a solution. We have an inward peace, an inward happiness, an inward contentment because God is in charge. And then back to Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now here's the key to being blessed. You have to be poor in spirit. I mentioned about a spaceship going back to the moon. Well, you might remember about Apollo 13. Apollo 13, now they made a good movie about it, although it's not 100% accurate because there wasn't the arguing and the fighting going on in the spaceship, but it's accurate about the events that happened. There was a problem on the spaceship. And that's where we get the phrase, Houston, we have a problem. Actually, Jim Lovell said, Houston, we've had a problem. But it sounds better, Houston, we have a problem. Because he had a problem and still got a problem. Well, the problem was, it's not like being in a car and running out of gas. I guess I've got to pull over the side of the road and get out, take my gas can and go get some gas. No. That spaceship was their only hope of survival between the Earth and the moon. They had no oxygen to breathe. No way to get back without that spaceship. They were totally poor in their own ability to get back. They couldn't even stick their hands out the window and paddle back home. They were in a bad situation. Their only hope was that spaceship that had had an accident. Well, that's what we need to realize. We are totally poor, and the Greek word there is destitute. The person that their only means of getting anything is begging. We have to realize we're spiritual beggars. There is no way we can get anything from God on our own. Look with me at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and Paul describes this. Because there are a lot of people that are arrogant in their attitude, but that does not provide salvation. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we any better off? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greek, Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. We need to realize, spiritually, we are beggars. There is nothing good in us. And Jesus gave an example in Luke 18 of the difference between somebody that's poor in spirit and someone that's rich in their spirit. Rich in spirit about thinking they can do everything on their own. Poor in spirit realizing they cannot. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee was standing and praying like this about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee was rich in his spirit. The tax collector was poor in his spirit. The tax collector realized his spiritual poverty. The Pharisee thought he was spiritually wealthy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You don't have to worry about anything. There's going to be problems, but God is still in charge if you're poor in spirit. If you recognize that it's God that's the source of all your provision. You can't do it on your own. You've got to do it with God. And it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is God's rule. We are members of heaven. I've got a tie, not this is not the one, but it says, this world is not my home. Our home is in heaven. And we are blessed if we realize the way to get there is by realizing we can't do it on our own. And nothing can take away our salvation. We have the kingdom of God. He's right here with us now. And he's with us and has prepared a place for us for all eternity. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't say will be, is. It starts with the right attitude. Sunday we're going to look about mourning and being comforted. It's all about our attitude. Do we trust God or do we trust ourselves? We're trusting God. We're blessed. Stand with me for our closing prayer. God, I thank you for showing us how to have the right attitude by recognizing and living a life, trusting in you, realizing that we are spiritual beggars. We have no hope without your intervention. Lord, let us live a life with that attitude. In Jesus' name.